It's good to see all of you out tonight. We're having sort of a early spring, it feels like, with this nice, beautiful, warm, and clear weather. But it's good to be here tonight as we open the scriptures, and we're going to be looking at a few verses together from the end of 1 Peter. End of 1 Peter. This chapter, the fifth chapter, is where the Apostle Peter speaks to his fellow elders and urges them to shepherd the flock, to serve as overseers, to be examples to the flock, and remember that the chief shepherd is going to appear. And he then, beginning at verse 5, touches on how that we are to consider our relationship to one another, we're to consider our relationship to God, and then we're also to consider the relationship that we have to our adversary, to the devil. And there are words spoken to each area in which we have responsibility to think about how we should conduct ourselves. And the first begins with this relationship that we have one toward another, where he says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." So, an important idea concerning this mutual submission. It's an idea, a mindset, that has to do with humility, lowering of self. It's easy in, you know, the communities in which we live, or the society, the culture in which we live, to drift toward an attitude that exalts self, because that's often what we see all around us. You see it sometimes in sports figures. You see it in leaders, and this idea that, you know, one has to seek his own greatness. And kind of in the race that is called the rat race, you step on top of other people to get yourself to the top. And so that mindset, this mindset of humility, lowering self, being submissive to each other, clothing oneself with this characteristic, often will seem foreign to people. However, it is the mind of Christ. It is the way of the Lord. It is the way to achieve greatness. Greatness is not achieved by pushing yourself forward and, you know, putting yourself over others, but just the opposite is true. This attitude helps to cure problems within relationships when we lower ourselves, when we look out for not our own interests, but for the interests of others, as Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. And here, this idea of younger people submitting to your elders is something we understand. You know, that's taught at a young age. You show respect to your elders. You help minister to the needs of your elders. And then he calls upon everyone, he says, to be helpful, submissive to each other. This would carry over to the idea where Jesus taught his disciples to lower themselves when he went down and began to wash their feet. He says, "If I, the Master, will do this to you, this is what you ought to do for one another." So it's not a matter just simply of age, even though that respect should be shown to your elders, but it's the idea that all of us should be such that our hearts are willing to serve anyone, whoever they are, and whatever circumstances they may be in. When Paul, as we've studied recently, was writing to the church in Corinth, and he talked about, I become all things to all men. He was willing to do whatever it would take, lower himself, relate to other people, didn't matter their social status or their cultural background or their religious background. Without violating the will of God, Paul would seek to adapt himself to relate to others so that he might reach them with the gospel. And this idea of humility goes right in with that. It's also essential to do that because of what he says when he quotes this passage from Isaiah chapter 10. And he talks about God's attitude toward the proud. If you want to make progress with God, if you want to have a standing with God, then you have to lower yourself. Because God doesn't have anything to do with those that exalt themselves. He resists the proud. If you have an arrogant attitude, if you lift yourself up, if you seek to exalt yourself as the Pharisees did, it says God is not going to be pleased with that, and God is going to resist you. However, who does he give grace to? Who is his favor bestowed upon? He says right here, to the humble. Those who lower themselves, God finds favor with them. He shows His favor to them and He exalts them. He lifts them up. And that's what He says in verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. So between one another, we are to have this idea of humility. But even before our God, we're to humble ourselves and to show ourselves servants that are submissive. And then we understand that He, as it's put, in due time will exalt you. We may not in this life have any exaltation whatsoever. In fact, we're not to seek that. But instead, we understand, because the Scriptures teach it, that in the end, on the day of judgment, those who have submissively served God and their fellow man and their fellow brothers and sisters will in that day, that last day, be lifted up and exalted and glorified by God. We are urged, verse 7, to cast all of our cares upon Him because, it says, He cares for us. Here is a God who wants us to humble ourselves, and as we go through this life as humble servants, even suffering servants, going through challenges, obstacles to our faith, we're told, here's a God who cares for you. So as you face your trials, and as your tribulations must be experienced because you are in the flesh, and you're told it's a part of living as a Christian, cast those cares upon God. How do we do that? Well, one way is to go to Him in prayer and pour out our hearts to Him. But also it's to have complete faith in His promises and in His assurance that He will be with us and that He will aid us. It doesn't mean that the troubles of life will all be removed. He might ease the burden. He might even lift the burden. Sometimes the burdens have to be borne. And through them, as Paul experienced his thorn in the flesh, we can actually be made stronger. And through the troubles and the trials to our faith is made perfect or complete. And we are strengthened. We are built up through the perseverance that results when one continues moving forward, even through the difficulties that he faces. In the midst of these trials, however, we're told this, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we have a relationship with the devil, you might say. It's an adversarial relationship. It's certainly not one where we look to him for any good whatsoever, but we look to him knowing that he is after us, that he's seeking to destroy us. We need to understand that there is a relationship there in the sense that he doesn't cease to come after God's people. And he won't relent in his efforts to try to cause you to forsake the Lord and to give up your running this race. So he tells us, be sober. So you think about a person who thinks clearly. The opposite of being sober is to be drunken. You know, you can be drunken. You can be affected in your mind by things of this world that distract you, that hinder you, that cause you not to think clearly. He says you're to get rid of those things and instead focus on the faith and your life that you're to live for the Lord. Be careful of the riches, the cares, the pleasures of life that can cause you not to bear fruit for the Lord. And instead be sober and be vigilant. So here you are as one who is a soldier in the army of the Lord, and you're watchful, you're very careful, you are on high alert because you know what kind of risk there is. You know what's at stake. Here is this great adversary, the devil. He is like that lion seeking to devour us. What are we told to do? Resist him. So here is one who is always going to seek to entice us. Just like with Eve, there's the fruit. She saw it. It had all the different various levels of appeal to her. She didn't resist his enticing efforts to trap her with something that was desirable. And there are things in life that Satan knows that for us as human beings, they're desirable. And he will seek to entice us with those things. However, we're urged, resist him. He will entice you. Yes, there's pleasure in these various things that he uses. But resist him. house, steadfast in the faith. You're standing upon the firm and solid foundation of the faith. It is the system of faith. It's based upon God's Word, which is that which produces faith within us. But it is the truth that God has revealed by which we know salvation can be attained if we walk according to these ways. So with an understanding of God's Word and a clinging to it and a loyalty to God, we move forward and we resist the devil. Knowing something important, that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. What we go through is not unique to us. Rather, these are sufferings that are common to our brethren all over the world. Our brethren, fellow Christians, are going through the same kind of temptations, struggles, discouragements, obstacles to their faith, enticements to abandon the faith. It's common to humanity, but specifically, even here, common to our brotherhood. And so never think that you're alone, but understand that others are also striving, and that together we need to strive against Satan, clinging to God, humbling ourselves, serving one another, and having this mindset that will help us get to heaven. Remember that God will never leave us or forsake us, but He's with us all the way on this journey that we're on. Tonight you may not be a Christian, but there's hope for you because Jesus Christ died for you and has made possible the forgiveness of your sins. Through faith in Jesus, turning from past sin, confession of our faith, and baptism into Christ, wherein we're buried with Him, raised to walk that new life, your life can be transformed. You can begin a new life as a baby that's been born and is just starting out, clean, spotless, healthy. That's what you are when you become a Christian. And then you, in your Christian life, like a baby, you grow and you develop. You start out with milk, the basic fundamentals of God's Word. But you move on from that. Yes, it's expected that you grow to the point where you become a teacher of God's Word so that you can tell others the good tidings of salvation. But along the way, as we journey, we're told, as we've seen tonight and many other passages, that there will be trials to our faith and there will be obstacles along the way. If tonight maybe you have wandered or you need to come home to the Lord, you know He's willing to receive you, and that we as your brothers and sisters are glad to help you and pray for you. So whatever your needs are tonight, He can help you with those as we stand and sing.